Good morning. I'm Lance Lucky, sitting in for Carrie Nolan. It's Monday morning, August 2nd, and it's time for WQXR's Washington Report Online. David Sanger joins us now. He's the chief Washington correspondent for the New York Times. Good morning, David.
Morning, Lance.
Let's start with some domestic news. President Obama traveled to Detroit on Friday to General Motors and Chrysler plants, and he heads to a Ford factory later this week. The president seems to be trying to show taxpayers that the big government bailout of the auto industry is working. Has it been, and how is that being measured?
You know, it has worked economically, Lance. The fascinating thing is that, at least so far, it has not worked for him politically. We've seen the profits of all three of the big three come back significantly. When President Obama was out in Michigan on Friday, he made a pretty impassioned case on the floor of a GM plant that the entire shift of workers who were there basically would have been jobless without the government bailout that occurred a little more than a year ago. Now, GM has already repaid its loans, and there's discussion at GM that they may actually go public at the end of this year, in other words, come out of bankruptcy and issue stock again, which would be a way for the U.S. government to begin to liquidate its 60% holding in the company. It's going to be a while longer before the smaller loans that were issued to Chrysler get repaid. But the fact of the matter is that the government now appears likely to come out of this hole, or nearly whole, and may even make a profit. And then the big question is, why have the politics of bailouts turned so negative in the past year, even while the results of this bailout turned positive?
Right. And, of course, hiring remains weak, and that has huge political implications. The GDP growth in the second quarter was announced last week at 2.4%, slipping from 3.7% in the first quarter. Seems to be headed in the wrong direction. Is a double-dip recession any more likely now?
Well, it looks more likely now than it did, say, 3 or 4 months ago, which is not to say that it will happen. 2.4% growth is not by any means unprecedented. The problem the president has with it is not just the slow growth. It's that at a moment that you have unemployment that's, you know, ranging between 8 and 10% in recent times, and worse in some particularly hard-hit areas, that kind of growth is not going to get much private sector hiring going again. The president's other problem is that the private sector has kept more than $1 trillion in investment money on the sidelines, because with this kind of low growth, they don't see a need to open up new factories, get more manufacturing going, or hire more people. And so without that money out there to stimulate more of the economy, I think the government is running into an absence of options. It's clear from watching what's going on in Congress that there will be no more government or organized stimulus. And with concern about the deficit so high, that would be politically impossible between now and the elections and probably after. So the president's almost entirely reliant on private investment, over which he has very little control.
Okay, moving on to another topic. Last week, an online organization called WikiLeaks.org posted tens of thousands of classified military field reports, or raw intelligence, related to the Afghan war. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates said yesterday that the Taliban had announced they were going through the classified documents and that the disclosures put at risk the lives of Afghans who had aided American forces. What will the fallout be from this leak?
Last week, when we were discussing all of this on this show, the WikiLeaks had just come out, and we spent most of our time talking about what we learned about the war from them and what we didn't learn. But I think what's been remarkable in the past few days has been the change in the nature of the damage assessment. The initial leaks that were published, particularly by the Times, by the Guardian in London, and by Der Spiegel in Germany, all omitted any reference to individuals who had helped the United States or to current operations. And that was done very deliberately by the newspapers, which wanted to get this history of the war down, but do so in a way that didn't put at risk people in Afghanistan. WikiLeaks, which is a website run outside the United States, then posted a number of additional documents that do identify a number of Afghans and others. And it's this that Secretary Gates was reacting to so strongly. I think there is a big concern that there's no way the United States could get out and protect each of these informants. Now, we don't know how efficient the Taliban is going to be in going through these or how well they'll be able to identify individuals. But, you know, in a scary place like Afghanistan, this makes it all the harder and all the scarier for American sources.
I believe I heard last week that Secretary Gates was interested in a criminal investigation into Mr. Assange, the founder of WikiLeaks. Is this kind of ridiculous, or is it actually possible that he could be detained somehow under American law?
Well, right now the Justice Department has started such an investigation into Mr. Assange and also into his compatriots. And we reported in the Times this morning that one of his associates, an American citizen, was reported being detained for several hours at Newark Airport last week. He was ultimately let go. The difficulty that you run into in the modern internet age with this is that Mr. Assange is not an American citizen. He's staying out of the United States. And the information that was leaked, wherever he got it, has been placed on computer servers around the world. So the American ability to get at it is quite limited.
And finally, any other news that you're following in Washington this week?
Well, Congress is finally making its way out of town, so the legislative news is going to pretty well slow down. But I think that you're going to see the president over the summer have to move far more aggressively on programs that he can convince voters are job-creating. And that's a difficult thing to do by executive order, but I think you'll hear him out in the hustings, in those auto plants, and in other places around the country this summer, making the argument that, in fact, government intervention at moments of crisis works. That's not a slam-dunk argument with American voters these days.
It will be interesting to watch as the election approaches. Thank you very much, David.
Thank you, Lance.
New York Times Chief Washington Correspondent David Sanger. I'm Lance Lucky in for Carrie Nolan, and that's the Washington Report on Classical 105.9 FM WQXR.